I'll try to help whoever I can, he said, adding that if we manage to end this war, we would become the only peaceful continent, and this is not a small thing.
Brazil's finance minister has claimed that the expansion of government-funded social programs sparked the country's economic woes, insisting that a controversial 20-year freeze on public spending and raising the minimum retirement age are critical reforms to pull the South American nation out of its economic slump. In an interview with the Brazilian newspaper Folha de São Paulo, Finance Minister Henrique Meirelles claimed that there is great confidence and optimism from investors in the plans pushed by the installed administration of President Michel Temer to slash public spending and boost foreign investment, adding that the primary investor concern is in seeing full implementation of the fiscal adjustment. Key in this economic doctrine for austerity is a proposal to freeze public spending to inflation for the next 20 years, a move critics argue will only deepen Brazil's economic crisis and adversely impact public health care, education and anti-corruption investigation, amongst other initiatives. The contentious proposed constitutional amendment, known by its Portuguese acronym PEC 241, has already received the green light in the lower house of Congress and must now pass through the Senate. Meirelles told Folha that he expects the Senate to pass the reform with ease before the end of the year, adding that it would be suicide to review the spending cap after 3 years and advocated locking it in for at least 10 years.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
On the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
You know, and I honestly have to disagree.
Me too.
I do not believe that this is people saying I couldn't possibly have a woman in this role. This is so much bigger than that. This is about, and I will say, because I have literally nothing left to lose tonight, is that this is literally white supremacy's last stand in America. This is it. This is what this looks like. This was black people being pushed out of rallies. This was a young boy with cerebral palsy and having his wheelchair kicked and being brought to the front of the line. I mean, this is hatred on a level that we have not. That we have not seen since Jim Crow. So we want to talk about whether Hillary Clinton is likable, whether it was about emails. No, we underestimated as Americans how deep our hatred was of the other, how deep white, uneducated Americans felt about the demographic shift. We underestimated that level of insidious like hatred. And what you had was a man who went around, he stoked every fire, he lit every bridge, and just opened the floodgate.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight.
Listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What will you before the white man mean you a Negro?
And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Ancient of days, sweeping fire blaze, let Jah be praised in all your doings and in all your ways. Come on, little children, sing.
Rastafari bless Roots Ministry. I President Selassie.
Yo, righteousness and ways. Live good, walk right, keep joining your side. That's how we tried it.
All right, I'll take point.
Let me carry him, Lieutenant.
No way. Just hang on, Kaffir.
I bleed red like you, white man. Don't call me Kaffir.
Kaffir.
Where do you come from? Rhodesia?
South Africa.
South Africa? I met Jan Smuts a long time ago. He was a good man.
I don't get to meet prime ministers. And now shut up.
Yes, sir.
What do you want?
Just to talk.
Talk? Why, oh my, no wonder you're a politician.
I haven't had anyone to talk to for over 2 years. Just prison guard. I entertain myself by trying to turn them into killing me.
Now you're trying the same on me. Christ, go to sleep, man.
Man. That's an improvement over Kaffir.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Internet radio for smarter Aboriginals.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under colonial, imperial, theological, racialist, homophobic, misogynist, neoclassist, neoliteral, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and those communities suffering from pro-capitalist, anti-environmental oppression. I'm your host, Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the people of the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, as well as our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive co-producer and master studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, coming at you from Everyman Studios in Multnomah Nation territory. So, yeah, I'm just going to cut to the chase. I'm not surprised about what happened. You shouldn't be surprised about what happened. White America decided. That's what it was about, and that's what it was always about. White America decided that they were going to go for broke, and they were going to look out for their own best interests. And in the sense of looking out for their own best interest, they felt that by cutting services to Muslims, to Spanish-speaking immigrants, because they're not saying anything about immigration from Ireland, They're not saying anything about white immigration from South Africa. They don't say too much about Canadians that overstay their fucking paperwork, right? Who stay, because there's no visa, right? There's no visa. Whatever their legal stay is here, you know, what was that, 30 days? Well, whatever it is, they overstayed. You know, I've known Canadians who have overstayed their thing. They're just like, oh, yeah, they know. I even got stopped, you know, driving here in the United States on the Canadian license and nothing. As long as they're white, nothing. You know, they're Brits. I know people who have married English citizens or English subjects, really, because, let's get technical, right? It's an empire, right? British subjects. They still answer to a queen. She's still the head of state. And, you know, they met an American. Two of the examples I've told you were what? Heterosexual, one was homosexual. And they had to do some running around. It cost them a lot more money than they expected. But they all overstayed their visas. And no one was detained. No one was threatened. No one was stopped arbitrarily on the street. Nothing happened. But see, you know, they figured that, well, this wall, there just needs to be a wall, you know. And then, you know, really, even then, look, why am I even talking about it like this? You know, what do I really fucking think? What do I really think, brothers and sisters? What I really think is that we can't trust the fucking white person at all standing around us. But see, but I don't want that to get out there in the sense that, okay, well, all white people are fucked up. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just simply stupid. Even though I know there are people who are thinking like that, and I have to remind myself that that's not true. We all know that every white person in the world is not quote-unquote bad. But when you're living in the United States and you have people being murdered by police officers and nothing happens, people being murdered by corrections officers like Sergeant James Brown in the state of U.S. state of Texas, nothing. Nothing happens. You know, they're blaming Black Lives Matter for killing all these cops, but there hasn't been one case that's been really tied to Black Lives Matter. And the closest that they've come is the fool who shot and killed those two police officers, uniformed police officers in New York City. It was like more than a year ago, right? A couple of years ago. And the thing about that one was he had just shot his girlfriend, who is a serving army officer. No, she's a non-com. She's a sergeant or something, I believe, in the U.S. Army. She survived, by the way, but he tried to kill her earlier that afternoon. He was also being looked at for three other goddamn murders. So, you know, these are all black people. So, apparently, he got angry over, it might have been Trayvon Martin or one of these, one of these cases. And he decided to use that as an excuse to go and shoot at these two officers, which if they stopped him or if they were looking at him too hard, he had just shot his girlfriend earlier that afternoon, several fucking states away, the same goddamn day. He was already fucking wanted, you know, for questioning, I believe, for suspicion. I'm trying to put my fucking tea down here, on suspicion. Of three other goddamn homicides. And like I said, his girlfriend and the other three people are all black. They're all American Africans. And not one conservative brought up the fact that he shot his goddamn girlfriend, who I believe was pregnant at the fucking time. And she survived. They didn't talk about any of the other, you know, people that he had killed, who, like I said, were all black. They didn't talk about that. So, you know, they wanted to blame him for this. Now, when they looked at his internet history, which is how they connected him to Black Lives Matter loosely in the first place, he mentioned one time, maybe twice, in some screed about, you know, Black Lives Matter is right. But there's no connection to him having any history with the group. Never attended. I mean, he's a fucking drug dealer. He's a criminal. He wasn't at those goddamn rallies. And people keep thinking that, you know, I don't know what it is with white folks and some of the black assholes that I've been fucking crawling with here in Poland who think that, you know, the Black Lives Matter is a card-carrying organization in which one pays dues. And one takes, what did I hear I told you, Luke? And you told me you've heard shit like this too. that you have to take a vow to hate police officers. You have to take a vow to hate white people. Well, you know, let me get something straight for you. This came out, at least to my attention, a couple of days before the election. And I did my best to get it out there. But, you know, it was all too fucking late. But I still wanted to point out the goddamn obvious. That, you know, Blacks for Trump, right? Now, you know, there was a whole lot of talk about that, except for the last fucking 2 days before the election. Why? Well, some say 5 days, because I've had conversations with a few people about this. But what happened was, it got out through Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, which is mainstream news here. And remember, she was totally Clinton, totally DNC. You know, Bernie Sanders, yeah, nice guy, but, you know, it's got to be a woman up there, right? And she's 100% behind Israel, no matter what the fuck they do. So, you know, here she comes out at this late date, because I didn't know this. And it's kind of embarrassing that I had to find out like this, but I don't watch Trump rallies. And what ended up coming out was, because we had talked about some of these crazy extremist black fascist groups before. I mean, we mention them all the time, and I have a paper out, The Mismeasures of Revisionist Afrocentrism, which you can find at aboriginalwriter.wordpress.com. And I advise you to go check it out and download yourself a copy. And, you know, check out, you know, Efforts for Fascism while you're over there. But we talked about this. You know, one of the reasons that Trump was able to get in, I know I'm going all over the board right now, but roll with me. One of the reasons that Trump got in is because he had a lot of black fascist support. And I'm not just talking about the celebrity black fascist Uncle Tom motherfuckers like Terrell Owens, Omarosa, fucking Mike Tyson, who lost his fucking mind a long goddamn time ago. Dave Chappelle, who lost his mind and had to go to South Africa because he was so scared of white people. Well, he was stumping for Trump here several days ago. He was stumping for Trump here a couple of fucking days ago. And then you have Azalea Banks, who said she was going to vote for fucking Clinton. That Clinton was a piece of shit, Azalea Banks said, and that she was going to vote for Trump. Go look it up. People don't believe me about this. Don't believe me. Go look it the fuck up and see if I'm telling the truth or not. Just don't get angry. Go see. You know, I mean, Beyonce, there's a whole lot of shit I can say. Jay-Z, there's a whole lot of shit that I can say. All of these motherfuckers came to the party late. And I'm not even talking about this goddamn election. Where the fuck was Jay-Z and Beyonce? You know, they wait till a late goddamn date to pull some shit by, you know, glamorizing the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense by doing a stylistic dance goddamn number when Jay-Z and Beyonce don't represent any motherfucking thing that the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was about. And we can go to the superficial stuff and talk about hair and skin bleaching and all that type of shit. Well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, the fucking thing about it is the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was a black organization defending black interests. Read the plebiscite. Read the the intended plebiscite. Read the motherfucking 10-point program. You know, it's all about self-reliance. And see, and that's another goddamn thing while I'm on this. You know, fucking people, I'm really sick of a lot of fucking black folks who like to quote, especially you Hotep sons of bitches. You like to quote Malcolm X, but obviously you don't understand what the fuck it is that you're quoting. You're quoting him as if he was static, and he would have said the exact same shit that he had been saying in 1958, in 1950 fucking 9, in 1960, 61, 62, 63. Get the fuck out of here, man. See, that tells me right there that the majority of motherfucking black folks don't know a goddamn thing about Malcolm X, really don't know anything about the political fucking history of struggle in this country. And check what I said. The political history of struggle in this country. Not standing on a motherfucking soapbox saying fuck white people. I'm talking about actually having a program. Why did the Black Panther Party get stomped the way it did? Why are the leaders of the Black Panther Party still in prison? When you got international terrorists around the world who are freedom fighters or consider themselves to be freedom fighters who are out now. The Red Brigade. Those who didn't commit suicide and shit, they're all out. You know, Baader Meinhof, they're all out. They're all out. These people were doing terrorism and shit. You know, left wing, right wing. Operation Gladio. Or swordplay, depending on which side of the pond you're on. Look it the fuck up. Don't believe me. But see, well, most of you have heard of this shit through Alex Jones. But Alex Jones is a fucking nutcase. He will only bring this bullshit up to push his own fucking agenda. How many black people has he had up on his show? Why did Trump get the black fascist neoconservative vote? Think about it for a fucking minute. How many times has Immortal Technique been on Alex Jones? Larry Pinkney, right, from the up in the Seattle area, up there in Washington State. How many times has he been on that motherfucking show? How many times has the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, if you can give him honorable after hooking up with Scientology, how many times has he been on the fucking Alex Jones show? Talking shit about white people all fucking day long, but he's a Scientologist now. Scientology was created by a racist motherfucker. Look it the fuck up. He went to South Africa to fucking retire. Yeah, thank you, Lupe. L. Ron Hubbard. Yeah, fucking went to South Africa under apartheid to retire. He is on record. Again, don't believe me. Go on YouTube and listen to the fucking audio of him in his own goddamn voice disparaging black people. Talking about how stupid black people are. You know, and I've seen news footage, or at least camcorder footage, right? Of, you know, black Scientologists being asked about Hubbard's racism. And, you know, they just made the usual blank-faced, Ali Kirstie kind of go blank, you know, responses and shit. John Travolta type fucking responses. You know, where they, you know, they sink into themselves and, you know, come out with some, you know, glorious, long ass, you know, ridiculous, tear about how L. Ron Hubbard was the special person who, you know, changed the world and everything. Do the fucking research. I wrote about it a little, and it's not even like I'm trying to necessarily push my papers today, but I have been talking about this shit for years. It's documented. F is for fascism. Again, you can find that at aboriginalwriter.wordpress.com. Cop yourself a copy of that one. We talked about this. We talked about this. How the fuck can you be leading the Nation of Islam? And like I said, I am not a follower of the Nation of Islam. I have family in the Nation of Islam. I mean, a good damn near 50% of my family is in the Nation of Islam. Okay, I come from a black nationalist family, not my immediate family, you know, but my immediate family wasn't down with any of that shit. They were conservatives, but we were the black sheep out of that bullshit, except for me. I'm the only person that took any, you know, time to get into the politics of the black liberation struggle. But I watched the black supremacy movement working alongside, trying to bleed and feed off of the black liberation struggle, because there's a difference. The black liberation struggle was about that, black liberation. The black supremacy struggle is just that. It's black supremacy. They want what the white guys want. They want exactly what the white guys want. They don't really want their own thing. They want to have a pure fucking state so that way they can run around with guns and talk the shit that these white guys do. That's what they're about. That's what they're about. When you listen to them, first off, all of their information comes from Alex Jones. It comes from shit about Albert Pike and the fucking Freemasons that were written by white people who didn't like blacks or the motherfucking Freemasons. Well, Albert Pike was in the Confederate, he was in the fucking Klan. He was a Confederate soldier. There was a whole lot of motherfuckers that y'all read and shit that were Confederate. This is why I brought up Alex Jones. How many fucking black supposed radicals? And like I said, the last one I mentioned was the fucking Minister Louis Farrakhan, somebody who you would think would be totally against an Alex Jones. You know, after you talk about the big wheel and Y2K, you know, they backtracked on that, right? That, you know, the big wheel was going to come and that he had been up, that Farrakhan had been up in a UFO in the quote-unquote big wheel and had spoken to the dead Elijah Muhammad. May peace be upon him.
who told him that when 2000 hit, when Y2K hit, that New Year's fucking day, when that shit hit, that all the white people on Earth were going to disappear. That is what they were saying when they were fucking selling, you know, goddamn. Yeah, when, you know, because what the... We had a copy around here of The Final Call that talked about how white people were going to just dematerialize.
I guess it was the Nation of Islam version of the rapture, right? That somehow the aliens out there are black and that they were going to come and help get rid of all the white people and then shit would just get fixed. So, you know, that's not a liberation philosophy. That's a supremacist theology. That has nothing to do with the liberation of African peoples. Because, see, that's another discussion that gets into, or really that you can't or you won't get into with most of these black supremacists, because they don't want, they don't count Arabs, they don't count Berbers. You know, they don't count any other ethnic group other than themselves. Well, even then, when you talk about themselves, you know, they're really seriously talking about racial purity when they're American black people, and that's impossible after the slave period. You know, the only people I really know who are pure black, you know, if you really want to coin that phrase, you know, who are pure black, are those from the West Indies, you know, from the Caribbean, those from South America, be they Colombian or from Costa Rica, right? Or Mexico. You know, you can go to Oaxaca, fucking Veracruz. That's where the slaves were. You know, you follow the Santeria, you'll find out where the slaves were. You know, the term brujo is West African. It's not Spanish. It's African. It's African. Right? Cumbia is African. And any honest Mexican would tell you that. And I'm not even going to get into the whole Hotep shit about the motherfucking heads. Cause that's not what I'm talking about right now. You know, what we're talking about is how did fucking Trump get in without pulling any fucking punches? Trump got in because white people wanted him in. We're looking at the, what was it, Reuters that you showed me, and then I saw something else in the cafe before we came here. Our barista, actually, who was pretty frantic about a lot of this, she showed us quite a few things that she was seeing in the news, and it turned out that one of the things that she was very upset about was the fact that so many white women who label themselves liberals and progressives voted for Trump. Now, you would think that with all the pussy grabbing and all that shit that he's been bragging about, and the fact that woman after woman has come out and said that this motherfucker's a creep. I mean, my wife likes to watch that capitalist TV show Shark Tank, right? So, it turns out that one of the women on that show, Barbara Cochran, I think her name is, because I've sat and watched it with her a few times, because I was just trying to see what the fuck they were talking about. And Barbara Cochran, I believe her name is, she said that she sat next to him on the plane and he fucking tried to feel her up. He's a pig. But women voted for this motherfucker. And the fact that he was hooked up with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted goddamn pedophile, and that, you know, somehow this woman's case just kept falling. Well, it never really fell apart. She didn't sign something in the right place the first time. So Trump's motherfucking expensive goddamn lawyers had that shit thrown out on a technicality. And that happened a couple of times. They got it thrown out on a technicality. And this last time, he was supposed to go to motherfucking trial about this shit. I believe it was a civil trial. But that case got goddamn dropped. And the woman was going to have, because she's now an adult, she was going to have a fucking press conference about this shit, but her lawyer said that there were so many goddamn threats, there was no press conference. And then she ended up dropping it. Now, people who will believe all kinds of George Soros conspiracy theories and shit, you know, but will not believe that the Klan is really behind, you know, Trump because they're Democrats, even though David Duke and the motherfucking United Klans of America and all of the other neo-Nazis and shit in the United States and in Scotland and in motherfucking Australia and the UK and in France and in Germany and all throughout fucking, you know, Eastern Europe and shit and former Eastern Bloc, right? You know, all of these motherfuckers are like, hey, yeah, we're supporting Trump. And people are fucking trying to argue with me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at The Angry Indian. And check us our news feed out at Aboriginal Press. And drop us a goddamn email sometime.
Fourth World Radio, number 4, TH World Radio, at gmx.pt. That's the email. Give us a, drop us a line sometimes. And, you know, motherfuck, man. How, you know, how can you be a female and vote like this? How can you be black and vote like this? What's that motherfucker, Wayne Dupree? He blocked me. But, yeah, he's some... He's been out here licking ass. And I'm not talking about kissing ass. I said, that motherfucker licks ass. Alan West, the fucking war criminal. He's not an ass kisser. He licks ass. And I'll tell him that to his fucking face. I don't give a fuck about him used to being a wrestling motherfucker. I don't give a damn about his military goddamn career. What, I'm supposed to suck his dick because he was in the fucking military and he was torturing people? Fuck Alan West. Would he get up off his ass to fucking stand against the goddamn Klan since he believes that they're Democrats? No. Absolutely not. That's Sheriff Clark. What has he done to get about the fucking Klan in his goddamn district? Absolutely nothing. And didn't somebody die in his jail not too long ago? Yeah. Died from fucking dehydration in his motherfucking joint. But he was black, so, you know, Sheriff Clark doesn't give a fuck because he's worried about white America, right? And we're asking ourselves why we lost. You know, and like, hey, all these black people talking about, oh, you know, it's going to be a gun grab. I'm like, you're talking like the white guys. What fucking gun grab? Has anybody noticed that Obama never took anybody's guns? You're able to go to church with a gun. You're able to go to school with a gun. You're able to go to the fucking mall with a gun. I was in a goddamn pub. Somebody came in with a fucking gun. He was able to bring his goddamn gun in there. Now, what if that son of a bitch got drunk and decided to start shooting people? Oh, but we got to have guns. Well, Chicago's full of guns. Yeah, but look what the niggas are doing. They're killing each other. You're contradicting your goddamn self. Oh, well, David Duke, you know, David Duke's got nothing to do with Trump. He didn't want his endorsement. Look, the first several times he was asked about that motherfucker on camera, he's talking about, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know anything about David Duke. Then it came out that he had actually repudiated, when he was a Democrat, that he had actually repudiated David Duke after he claimed that he didn't know anything about him. Then he wouldn't fucking say anything negative against him. And then the only time that he really ever fucking did, up until recently, when the fucking race was close, right, to appeal to the niggas that fucking supported his ass, they're like, oh, and the Jews, you know, yeah, I'm going on tangents. That's right. Roll with me. The Jews that are supporting fucking Trump. What the fuck is wrong with you? You guys are going after fucking BDS. Yeah, I can talk shit, because I had to tell some people this today on goddamn Twitter, because we're trying to hurry this up. This is why this is all coming out like this. I got like 5 goddamn minutes here. Yeah, because somebody else is coming into the studio. Motherfucking, you're talking shit about Trump can't be responsible for his Klan support, but you don't want to discuss why the Klan is supporting him in the first place. But, you know, you don't see the contradiction. He fucking hates women. He talks about women like this shit. Made a comment that he wouldn't fuck Hillary Clinton or whatever. But women voted for him. And they're wondering why. I heard this today in the street. People are wondering why the world thinks the United States is stupid. The world, you know, we don't understand why people hate us and shit. They're fucked up for hating us. And it's like, are you really that goddamn dense? Well, you must be. If you're a woman, if you're black, if you're Mexican, and you voted for Trump, you're a fucking fool. You're a fucking fool. We just saw a fucking guy hold up a pro-Trump goddamn sign and got kicked out of the goddamn fucking rally. He's a Trump supporter, got fingered by Trump, got kicked out of the motherfucking rally, and still kissing, licking. Let me correct myself. Licking. Trump's ass, like Alan West, like the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, like that crazy ass motherfucker at Outlaw Ministries over in New York, the one who thinks they're putting sperm in the fucking lattes at Starbucks. These are all house niggas, and they all did everything that they could to get that motherfucking off. Katrina Pearson's a fucking moron. Now, they're out here calling people niggas in the streets over in, what? They're doing this in Philly. They're doing it, what, the Klan marched in Philly, I heard, and in North Carolina today, and in Texas, right? In New York City, I saw something on Twitter where they were chanting, we hate blacks, we hate Muslims, we took it back, we're taking it back. And when you ask, because I did today, when you ask black Trump supporters, well, what about that? Well, we all have to come together, you know, these people, you know, if Black Lives Matter wasn't out there, then this wouldn't be happening. You know, blame the fucking victim. And one of these motherfuckers today, his brother got into some shit about 4 months ago. He's from Portland here, or lives in Portland now, but he went down to San Francisco for something. Because this motherfucker was telling me about it. Asking me if I knew of any lawyers in San Francisco that deal with criminal cases, and I told him no. And I asked him why, and then he told me. And I said, well, it's funny, it sounds like your brother got racially profiled. And he went, he kind of brought it on himself because, well, you know, it's the way he was acting at the time. Now, his brother's just as much as a fucking... You know, I mean, look, I might be an Uncle Tom. I might even be an assimilationist. But like I said, the fuck if I kiss ass? This son of a bitch is telling me, well, yeah, man, you know, well, it was the way he was talking at the time. And the fucking cops, you know, didn't understand that he was a better man than that. And that's why he's in his trouble. So, you know, a whole bunch of motherfucking, you know, lynch them, not me type bullshit. I mean, that's pretty much what the fuck that was about. Look, man, what else is there to say? White America spoke. Liberal and conservative, and we got fucked again. So, you know, if you're white and you want to talk to me today about, well, we need to get together and we need to do something about Trump, fuck you. All right, fuck you. Because, you know, Reuters and shit already put, you know, the word is motherfucking out. Liberals supported goddamn Trump. White liberals supported motherfucking Trump. Period. Period. And if it wasn't for the female goddamn vote, he wouldn't have gotten over. So, you know, fuck all of y'all. Really. Fuck all of you. Because, you know, how many goddamn white liberals over the fucking decades have been telling me, well, you know, it's not as bad as you think. Always making fucking excuses. You know, no matter what happened. I mean, they just voted in a motherfucker who says that the Central Park Five are guilty, even though DNA evidence cleared them, and another motherfucker had already admitted to the fucking crime. He's now doing time. Right? Nope. He wanted them to get the death penalty, and he's still fucking talking about they're guilty. So this is what the fuck you wanted, America. So when I say that you're racist, I don't want to hear any goddamn thing. All the white folks within the sound of my goddamn voice, you're fucking racist. Individually, maybe some of you are not bigots, but racism, look at the fuck up. White Americans are fucking racist. And don't argue with me because Donald Trump is supported by the fucking Klan and supported by neo-Nazis and he's fucking in office. Because white people gave it to him. And then, you know, there's little anecdotal stories about how many, you know, white folks, and like I said, you know, at least two black Republicans so far today, to me anyway, were like, hey, you know, maybe I made a mistake. Well, it's too late now, motherfuckers. Y'all own this shit. Live with it. This is the Angry Indian. Stay tuned.
And when we speak the truth, that's when them run come shoot. Taking what's not yours, beating down our doors. Babylon, you will be overthrown, yeah. Why won't they admit that they were wrong? Can you tell me why it's taking them so long? So much pain.
This is Rebecca Pierce. I'm a journalist and filmmaker from the San Francisco Bay Area. You can find me at weirdsister.tv, and this is Aboriginal Radio.
Oh, you build up your barriers, but we're gonna break them down. Remember, we're warriors from the shanty town. Yeah, can't be but no stone with yourself. We're not gone.
What did you do in South Africa?
I fought black troublemakers.
Who were they fighting and why?
If you were asking me whether I understand the politics of my own country, the answer is no, all right?
Well, at least you had an equal opportunity to neglect your education. What would you like to do there?
I want a place of my own. That's all saving your life means to me. The chance to work my own land as a free man in a country I love.
That's good enough. Only one thing to remember about Africa. Today, freedom is only a word for a new oppressor. Black or white, north or south. If you want to live here, you better think about tomorrow.
Can we whites have carried you people on our backs ever since we came to this country?
It's the other way around, isn't it? Is it?
You need me to save your miserable black life right now, don't you?
I do. Then you may need me to save yours. We need each other, white men. And that's the way it should be. We've got the whole world using us now, setting group against group, destroying Africa. Our new freedom is just another label for their brand of slavery. And the final bloodbath is coming, first between black and white, and then between black and black when you whites have left Africa for good.
Man, we have built your countries, and now you are kicking us out of almost all of them. You are living on foreign aid, robbing your own people blind. You are crying about outside oppression while you are killing each other in great big bleeding batches. Once you have something better to offer, then you come talk to us in the White South.
We both have something better to offer. Listen to me, because your White South is next unless you land.
Oh, bullshit. We whites were born here. We are just as African as you are, and don't make a mistake. We are going to stay.
I'm glad to hear that. Then you'd better join us and help us sort out our future.
Join you?
We've got to learn to care for each other, or there'll be nothing left of our Africa but a burnt-out battlefield.
You have a point there. But do you have an answer?
I have the will to look for one. We have to forgive you for the past, and you have to forgive us for the present. If we have no future together, white men, we have no future. That's what I believe in, and that's what I'm willing to die for.
You're beginning to sound good to me. Maybe we need you. Maybe you are just the man.
All right, let's get moving.
Maybe I'm a bloody fool.
I'm going to take you there just to find out if you are lying.
Just hang on tight, bloke.
Got to find a better way. Now when me looking at Babylon, me see a beer foul play. That's what the Gideon say. Yeah. Our nation come together, know that King Selassie has the truth and the light and the way. He's the people, lead them in the right way.
Sound, I want the people them to know this murder sound. I want the people them to know this in a Germany, out of Germany, roots history of murder sound. Yeah, you don't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Papa, November.
Listening to the Young, Grinding, and Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
This is an international call out to the world. We are asking everybody worldwide to do whatever you can do. And what needs to be done is you need to go to the streets. And you need to protest. You need to do whatever you can to help us, to protect us. Take action where you are. Take railroads, take bridges, do it. Take strong hearts. Anybody who's fighting resource extraction, have a strong heart. And do it. Stand up for your rights. They cannot stop us all. Worldwide, this is your call. Resistance, warriors, they're harming your territory. Stop them.
The wind comes in four corners, four directions, four colors. And death rides on four horsemen. A black snake with some black tanks. How much money do these companies need to make?
I would like anyone who is listening to consider some thoughts that I paraphrase from the words of German pastor Martin Niemöller. You might not care if Donald Trump says Muslims must register with their government because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump says he's going to round up all the Hispanic immigrants because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump says It's okay to rough up black protesters because you're not one. And you might not care if Donald Trump wants to suppress journalists because you're not one. But think about this. If he keeps going and he actually becomes president, he might just get around to you. And you better hope that there's someone left to help you.
In Navajo teaching in the old traditional world, there were four basic genders. The first one was that women are the first gender because Navajo is a matrilineal society. Men is the second gender, and third gender is the Natle. Born as a male person but functioned in the role of a girl in early childhood and functions more in the role of a woman in adulthood. And it's just the opposite for the fourth gender, where they were born biologically female but functioned the role of a boy in early childhood and matured into a man and conducts their life in that gender identity.
The masculine and feminine together are sometimes reflected so completely in the body of one person, it's as if they have two spirits.
In our tradition, in the Western European tradition, we tend to think of gender as pretty neatly divided between male and female, starting with Adam and Eve. And many world cultures, including many Native American cultures, don't have such a neat division. There is some movement back and forth between genders related to both the way people present and the way people relate to each other sexually. We think we know that there's a typical male and a typical female, but the fact is almost everyone diverges from those typical qualities.
In Western culture, when I say a girl, there's automatically an assumption that girl is female. And the same with a boy. If I say boy, well, that's a boy. We never pause to think that could that boy be a female.
We're in a many-gendered world, and getting out of this gay, straight, heterosexual, homosexual, binary dichotomy, which has been made up.
Where I come from, we have one of our festivals during the year, Holy Days, where all the men and all the women in the entire village will switch clothes. So all the men will dress as women and all the women will dress as men. Everyone switches.
तपाईलाई थाहा छ नेपालमा पहिलो पटक कहिले एचआईभी संक्रमित व्यक्ति फेला परेको थियो
थाहा छ सन् 1988 मा
यतिका वर्ष बितिसक्दा एचआईभी एड्स को क्षेत्रमा के भए सकारात्मक परिवर्तनहरू कति आए कसले के गरे
के हामीले आफ्नो जिम्मेवारी बहन गर्यौं तपाईले गर्नुभयो
जवाफ आफैसँग खोजौं जिम्मेवारी बहन गरौं
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास.
You know, a long time ago down in Mississippi, when it was slavery time, they called us niggers, you know. I didn't give a damn how light and bright you was a nigger. Right on. So this nigger was working for this white man. The white man said, nigger, say, you know, you've been working for me a long time. He said, yes, sir, boss. He said, and I hear all you niggers running right here in Mississippi talking about the niggers don't ever get no break. Said, but today, say, I'm going to give you niggas a break. Said, nigga, I'm going to put you on TV. Now I want you to tell the world how we treat the colored folks down here in Mississippi. Nigga said, boss, you sure you want me to tell them? Say, hell yeah, nigga. Say, I'm going to dress you up. Honey, buy a brand new pair of overalls. Yeah. You know, the kind with the strap on the shoulder. The one strap across the shoulder. Honey, dressed this nigga up and took him down to TV station. Say, all right, nigga. Say, you're on the air. Say, you hooked up nationwide. Nigga was scared to go on. Say, boss, you sure it's all right? Say, hell yeah, nigga, go on. Tell him what we do, how we treat you colored folks down here in Mississippi. Boss, you sure you want me to tell him? Yeah, nigga, tell him. Speak up, speak up. Nigga say, help!
Who will survive America? Few Americans. Very few Negroes and no crackers at all. Who will survive America? Few Americans, very few Negroes, and no crackers at all. Ooh.
will survive America? Very few Negroes, no crackers at all. Who will survive America? Very few Negroes, no crackers at all.
Will you survive America with your 20 cent habit? Your throwback Jones, will you survive in the heat and fire of actual change? I doubt it. Will you survive, woman, or will your nylon wig catch a fire at midnight and light up Sterling Street and your ass prints on the pavement? Grease was melting in this brother's eyes. His profile was shot up by a Simba. Thinking it was coming around the corner was really Tony Curtis, and not a misguided brother got his mind hanging out with our Italian. Who will survive America? The black future will. You can't with the fat stomach between your ears, scraping nickels out the inside of nigger daydreams. Few Americans, very few Negroes. Maybe no red Negroes at all. Who will survive America? Who will survive America? The stiff back chalk lady Baptist in blue lace. If she shrinks from blackness in front of the church, following the wedding of the yellow robots, will not survive. She's old anyway, and they moving her church in the wind. Old people, no. Christians, no. First Negroes, be invisible to truth. 1944 Minnesota, no, no. Nothing of that will be anywhere. It will be burned clean. It might sink and steam up the sea. America might, and no Americans, very few Negroes will get out and no crackers at all. No crackers at all. No crackers at all. No crackers, no crackers at all. But the black man will survive America. His survival will mean the death of America. Survive, black man. 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 Black woman, too. Survive, black man. Survive, black man. Survive, black man. Black woman, too. Black woman, too. Black woman, too. Let us all survive. Who needs to? Let us all survive. Let us all survive. Let us all survive. Who needs to? Okay, okay. We wish each other good luck.
This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
Marilyn Bock was a political prisoner, a captive of the federal prison system for her role in the freeing of former Black Panther Assata Shakur. She wrote gripping, radical poetry, often about the plight of her fellow prisoners, as well as prisoners who were active in the Black freedom and nationalist movements. For example, in 2000, she wrote Black August, a few words of which follow. Would you hang on a cliff's edge, sword sharp, slashing fingers, while jackboot screws stomp heels on peeled flesh bones, and laugh? Let go, die, damn you, die. Could you hold on 20 years, 30 years? 20 years, 30 years, and more. Brave black brothers buried in U.S. concentration camps. They hang on, black light shining in torture chambers. Ruchelle, Yogi, Sundiata, Sekou, Warren, Chip, Seth, Herman, Jaleel, and more they resist Black August. Marilyn wrote that poem in 2000. She was released in July 2010 and recently passed away from the ravages of cancer. Buck was imprisoned for so long because of her support of the Black Liberation Movement, which made her a sort of traitor to the white nation. Like John Brown, she fought to free the unfree. Her spirit of resistance never left her. Marilyn was 62. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
And this is Javin Barker, and you can catch me on Twitter, selfmade_G22. Let's Be Real podcast on Facebook. You look us up. Are you listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio?
11 p.m. on the East Coast. We're back on the air and we have news. There will be young children in the White House for the first time since the Kennedy generation. An African American has broken the barrier as old as the Republic. An astonishing candidate, an astonishing campaign, a seismic shift in American politics. You are looking at the 44th President of the United States. The celebrations begin.
The question was, why are so many young white people in support of Barack Obama?
I think it's one or two or both. Now, one, there are a sizable number of white people who are tired of this whole business about squabbling about what color somebody is. Mostly a number of younger white people, people classified as white. Now there's another category, and that is the refined racist who says it's good for business. Good for the business of what? Of racism. That you put a lot of black people up front, and what better way to put a black person up front is the attempt was made by that category of people, first of all, with Mr. Powell, who didn't rise to the occasion for reasons which he best knows, in my opinion. And then now Mr. Obama, that a lot of white people say they want him out front. By out front means he's not going to dictate. He's not going to just sit up and write checks, because he's not going to be allowed to do that based on logic. So why would white people who have mal intentions want him to be up front? It's because in any organized, that's the white people who are racist, that is. Now, racism works on the principle of organized crime. One thing that you do in modern organized crime is that you have what they call buffers. You have people to take the rap for things that you are going to do behind the scenes. And I think this is the master plan for the position that Mr. Obama is going to be in. And I think that every black person, every non-white person, and every correct-thinking white person should be aware of that plan, that a lot of very ugly things are going to happen on his watch that he has absolutely nothing to do with, but he's going to be the person standing there with the smoking gun, because somebody's going to put it in his hands. That's an old trick that everybody should be aware of by now. But a lot of people are not. And a lot of black people, you can look for it, and I'm trying to head it off, and everybody who is listening to this should be trying to head it off, saying, don't rise to that bait, because the bait is for everybody, particularly millions of black people throughout the world, to get mad at Mr. Obama because they didn't get a check. We have to codify in such a way that all of the things that we do are designed to tailor to the individual to do the best that he or she can wherever he or she happens to be in the known universe on any given day, as if Mr. Obama was never elected president. A lot of this surrounding Mr. Obama is to lull the dark-skinned people of the world to sleep, thinking that this is hallelujah time, and that all they have to do is just lie down and go to sleep, and when they wake up, all they have to do is march themselves to the mailbox, and there will be a fat check there with Mr. Obama's signature on it. And when they go to that mailbox and they do not see that check there, and when things seem to be getting worse and worse for them while they stand there waiting on a Messiah, they're going to get angry at Mr. Obama, which is exactly what a huge segment of the white supremacist culture have planned. That's exactly what they want to happen. While they enrich themselves behind the scenes.
I want to talk tonight very briefly about ultimate liberation.
All right.
Ultimate liberation. Freeing of the African mind.
All right.
One of the things that we need to be clear about is that we have been trying desperately to get free ever since we've been here.
All right.
There has never been a period in our experience in North America that we haven't been trying to somehow gain liberation, to get freedom, to get away from the oppressive restrictions on our humanity that this culture has enforced. What has happened over the years is that there have been stages of freedom. You see, when you deprive people of their fundamental humanity, they tend to even lose sight of what true freedom is.
All right.
When you begin to systematically rob people of their basic contact with reality, then they no longer are very clear about what is real. Under those circumstances, they then know something is wrong, but they aren't exactly sure what it is that is wrong. And because of the uncertainty about what's wrong, people then begin to engage in whatever frantic and frustrated effort they can to break free. So they look at the immediate restraint as a means of defining what freedom is. Now, for most of the time that we've been here, the definition of our lack of freedom was fairly tangible. It was very concrete. We had chains on our wrists. We had manacles on our ankles. We had hoops around our necks. We had dogs restricting our movement. There were guns standing at the fence. There were very tangible, concrete limitations on our access to movement that made it very clear that something is wrong. The opportunity and the effort to engage in those things that other human beings engage in, the opportunity to be with our children, to be with our wives, to engage in the kinds of things that we had known characteristically and other people were able to do, we weren't able to do those things. So freedom came to mean getting away from the chains, getting away from the manacles, getting away from the limitations, breaking loose from the plantation, outrunning the dogs, outrunning the hunters, outrunning the bounty, outrunning those people who wanted to keep us in that condition, to get away from the whip, get away from the oppressor who was clear and evident by his physical existence. So for most of those 200 years, we did all we could to get free, but freedom meant getting away from the physical conditions of slavery. During those days, the Negroes were far and few between, because everybody knew they were in hell. Now, there were people frightened about doing anything about it, but they knew they were in trouble. No one had to convince them that their situation was a contemptible, degraded, pitiful, sad situation. Except for a few of them, of course, who'd gotten to hang out in the house and they thought they were what they were working at. But basically, most of the slaves knew full well that something is going on. Now, under those conditions, the pressure was to get away from the conditions of the plantation, and that was the definition of freedom. If we can just get up north, if we can just get away from the dogs, if we can just get away from the whip, if we can just get away from this mean cracker, then we will be free. So the concept of liberation
was migration. Let me migrate from the plantation in Virginia and Carolina and Georgia and Mississippi and Kentucky, and let me get to the free land up north, or to Canada up north. Just get out of this physical situation. So the concept of freedom was a very simple one. That to move from the physical restraints to a place where you had relative ability to move about. After the period of slavery, the concept of freedom became slightly different. It became one of, now that the chains are off, now that the fences are removed, now that the dogs are no longer put on us, now that you no longer have a right to deprive me of the ability to move, then it became clear that even though those things were gone, freedom still was not there. So it became a little less tangible. Even though you couldn't vote, and even though you couldn't walk on the same side of the street, and even though you had to drink out of a special fountain, and even though your children had to go to special schools, and you had to live in special areas, the idea, though, is that somehow it was still less tangible. It was less clear. It was more abstract. But people knew something still was wrong, so they said, freedom means let me participate.
All right.
So they said, boss, now that the chains are gone, let me do some of what you do. Let me go where you go, eat where you go to the bathroom where you go to the bathroom. Let me live where you live, and let my children go where yours go. And our concept of freedom then became one of participation. And so for almost a half of a century, we worked hard to participate. We wanted to simply do what boss did. And if we were doing what boss was doing, we thought we were free. And we made lots of efforts to try to do what boss did. We prayed, we marched, we set in, we walked in, we voted, we unvoted, we got beaten down in the streets. We did everything just trying to let boss let us participate. Because the concept of freedom then was just to be able to do what boss was doing. Then the law got shifted again, and they began to let us do that. We could vote, and we could drink out the same fountain, eat at the same place, sleep in the same place. We really thought that now the freedom was here. Then we kept finding out something still ain't right. It still ain't right. So I tell you what, boss, let us be like you. We want to marry you and listen. We want to go to your school. We don't want no these colored schools. We want to go to your school, boss. We don't want to have no black community. We want to live integrated.
That's right.
No longer no participation. We want to integrate. We want to live right next to you. We want to pray next to you. We want to sing next to you. We want to do everything right with you. Don't give us none of this old black stuff. None of this old African stuff. I'm an American, boss. I'm a real American. And once we began to push for that, we didn't want nothing to keep us from being a good American.
That's right.
We wanted to fight where boss fought. We wanted to go to his war.
Right.
Live in his place. So the thrust then had gone from plantation to participation to membership. We wanted to be shared members, and we thought we'd be free. But then we found out that we got there and we were sitting there, and somehow we still didn't feel free. Sitting in his school, still didn't feel free. Reading his book, still didn't feel free. On his television, still didn't feel free. In his play, still didn't feel free. Everything we did still didn't give us the sense of being free. Because we knew that something was still missing. That we got there and we were
sitting there, and somehow we still didn't feel free. Sitting in his school, still didn't feel free. Reading his book, still didn't feel free. On his television, still didn't feel free. In his plays, still didn't feel free. Everything we did still didn't give us the sense of being free, because we knew that something was still missing. Now, as we come to the end of this 20th century, we are in a period of real complexity, because all tangible evidence suggests we ought to be free. Ain't no chains, no plantation, no laws prohibiting you from voting for who they want you to vote for.
All right.
No barriers to going to whatever school you want to try to go to. Any book you want to read, you can read it. Turn on TV, colored people everywhere doing all the things that white folks do. Being molested, learning how to molest, having dysfunctional families, being psychoneurotic. We got them all. Listen. We got them all. Negroes on the Supreme Court, married to white women. So what you want? What's the complaint? What's the dissatisfaction now? We have Negro editorialists and journalists who get in the newspaper and write penetrating editorials to argue against the continued victimization, preoccupation with being victimized, because the content of the character is what really counts rather than the substantive realization that we are really free. Listen. We have right-wing conservative Republicans who tell the Negroes they ought to shut up and stop complaining. They got everything they need. They're just addicted to complaints. Complain. I'm free. You free. What you want to be? It's all there, because now it's not as tangible anymore. But the majority of folks still know something is wrong. Every time you look at a statistic that reflects negative things, we at the top. Dying from cancer, we at the top. Dying from AIDS, we at the top. Highest poverty, we at the top. Most welfare, we at the top. Everything that has to do with death, destruction, degradation, destruction of our lives and our children's lives, we at the top. And even though we have representatives who look like us, sitting at every high peak of authority, the bottom line is that we are still primarily plantation-existing Negroes. That is the bottom line reality. So the question becomes, it answers one question. It lets us understand why it is so difficult now to let out, to get most of our people to understand there's a problem. Because an illusion has been created. An illusion has been created that we now are just like everybody else. So the Irish say, you no different from me. The Italians say, you no different from me. Even the Jews say, you no different from me. We all in the same boat. We all are just struggling to make it now. And most of our people have come to believe that that's the way it is. Not most of them, many of our people. Many of our people, they believe that that's the way it is. So when you come to them and say, look, we got to get free. Time running out. Our condition is getting worse. They say, what are you talking about? Oprah is one of the richest people in America. What are you talking about? We got Montel, Les Brown, all of Burgess, all of them now on TV. We on the air tonight, Search for Tomorrow, All My Children. What do you mean, medical center? We got special episodes with them. We've had the Cosby Show. We got everything. What do you mean? We've got PhDs, LLDs, DMs, MDs. You name the D, we got all the D's. What do you mean?
What are you concerned about? What are you talking about? So it becomes extremely difficult to get them to understand that those are illusions. Illusions that have been created to keep us pacified, quiet, and stupid about our condition. Now, 400 years of systematic conditioning has created a mental condition that no longer makes plantations necessary, no longer makes chains necessary, no longer makes dogs necessary, no longer makes segregation necessary, no longer requires any of those external circumstances. Because the conditioning and the illusion have created such a situation so that you now operate in your own enslaving interest. We are now in 1993, our primary source of inflation. Let me say that again. Now, I know this comes difficult for some, because we like to, even those of us who are fairly aware of what's happening, we like to say the white folks holding us back. I got news for you.
All right.
White folks are almost powerless.
All right.
They have created such a mess in this world, they can't hold themselves back anymore. Listen, their children are crazy. Their families are dysfunctional, they are polluted, they are toxic, they are addicted, they're insane, and they're broke. The only thing that's keeping them working is the illusion. There's an illusion that there is still wealth in this country, even though there are trillions of dollars in debt. There's an illusion that they still have power to control, only because the ones who are being controlled accept their control. There's an illusion that they still have genius and creativity, only because we continue to give them authority over us in areas of genius and authority. They continue to believe they have the power of leadership, only because we attribute and give them the power of leadership. I have news for you. Their power is done with. And the only reason we're in the condition we are in is because it's up here. It's up here. The enslavement in our mind has us perpetuating a condition that has been over now for decades.
We live and expand.
All countries. Throughout history, free and civilized nations have suddenly gone fascist, suspending civil liberties and enslaving the population. Don't let this happen to your country. Here now are the top 10 signs your country may be going fascist. 10. Protests are restricted, ignored, and even provoked to become violent. 9. Plans to expand your country into an empire are kept quiet. 8. Your elected officials profit from war and other disasters. 7. Your government writes laws which directly oppose your constitution. 6. Your government sets up elaborate surveillance systems so citizens may be closely monitored. 5. Both your political parties consider war necessary. 4. The integrity of your country's election results becomes suspect. 3. Your news refers to people who disagree with the government as anarchists, communists, and terrorists. 2. Your government tells you torture is okay and begins to operate secret prison camps. And the number one sign your country may be going fascist: your president is obviously too stupid to run a country. Someone else must be handling it. If you see any of these signs, act immediately and get the word out. Remember, fascism can happen suddenly if you don't know what to look for. Don't let ruthless power elites take away your freedom. Remember, you can make a difference. A message from the SFBOARARWDWTBISOTEA, the Society for People of All Races and Religions Who Don't Want to Be Ignorant Slaves of the Elite Anymore.
Missy Elliott for the Black AIDS Institute.
HIV happens to us more than it does anybody else, which is why we should all get tested, because if we don't step up, then nobody will.
Get informed, get tested, get treated, and get involved. For more information, call the Black AIDS Institute at 213-353-3610. That's 213-353-3610. Or online at www.blackaids.org.
Hello. This is a message to the so-called New Black Panther Party, which resides in the United States of America. As an American citizen, I ask that you all immediately disband and stop what you are doing, which is misrepresenting an organization and a culture that you do not understand. As the child of the Black Panther, I was raised to understand that the ideals of the Black Panther shall live on. However, the physical representation of a Black Panther can and will be oftentimes misrepresented and imitated. These gentlemen are Black Panthers, and they also have the original mindset of a Black Panther, which is to ensure truth, justice, and equality for every single tax-paying American citizen, regardless of the color of their skin or their ethnicity. God bless you, and power to the people.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
दोपहर को कहाँ गई थी?
दोपहर को बाजार गई थी।
पता क्यों नहीं जा सकती थी?
अरे अब इसकी क्या बताना?
पड़ोसियों से पता चलता है मुझे।
पता चले तो क्या हुआ?
चुप। ये घर मैं चलाता हूँ। मुझसे पूछे बगैर कोई काम नहीं होगा इस घर में। चल चला समझ।
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको। बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल।
Palestine is one of the most reported places in the world.
But there's still a lot of misinformation about the reality on the ground.
What much of the media fails to explain
is that since 1948, nearly 75% of the entire indigenous Palestinian population
have been forcibly driven off our land
to make room for the creation of the so-called State of Israel.
And we are denied the right to return to our homeland.
The remaining 25% of Palestinians live as second-class citizens in the State of Israel, all under a brutal military occupation in the West Bank and Gaza Strip.
While world powers fund and support Israel,
we, the people of the world, in our millions,
support the Palestinian people's struggle for freedom and equal rights.
If I boycott Israeli goods,
If I boycott Israeli goods,
it's because I oppose an illegal occupation.
Because I oppose racism. Because I oppose brutality towards the indigenous people of their land. I reject the notion that I am anti-Semitic.
I reject the notion I'm a self-hating Jew. Simply because I oppose the idea of an exclusively Jewish state.
There is only one line of division.
It's not a line of division between Muslims and Jews.
It's not a line of division between Palestinians and Israelis.
It is a line of division.
It is a line of division.
It is a line of division between those who stand for the equality of all
and those who stand for the supremacy of some. Boycott apartheid.
Boycott Israel. Boycott apartheid.
Boycott Israel.
Boycott apartheid. Boycott Israel.
I'm so thirsty for revolution. I'm so crazy about the people. We're gonna stand together. We're gonna have a black army, a Mexican-American army, an alliance and solidarity with some progressive whites, all of us. And we're going to march on this pig power structure, and we're going to say, stick them up, motherfucker. We come for what's ours. Up against the wall. Power to the people. Thanks, brother.
She ran off with another guy. She never even said goodbye. She'll never find a love like mine, or bigger. She took the TV and the stereo. She wrote a check for all my dough, but to top it off, she ran off with a nigger. She ran off with a nigger, 6'8" buck. Big Mark IV with his name on the door. Now all I can say is, well, fuck. Crying out loud, why'd you do me this way? If I had a gun, I'd pull the trigger. She took the car that I just paid for and ran off with a nigger. It really came as no surprise. I guess I saw it in her eyes. I knew it would happen any day. My pappy said I told you so. She broke my heart and now I know I never should have married that black little bitch anyway. She ran off with a nigger, this big old boy named Buck. He had a pink Mark IV with his name on the door. Now all I can say is, well, fuck. Crying out loud, why'd you do me this way? If I had a gun, I'd pull the trigger. She took the car that I just paid for and ran off with a nigger. She tore me apart when she ran off with a nigger.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this the piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at headonradionetwork.com. There's a listen live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio, a nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
This is FSLN reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to do. They ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Welcome to the radio program that brings you news, commentary, and analysis from the Black Left. I'm Glenn Ford, along with my co-host, Nellie Bailey. Coming up, Obamacare seems to be collapsing from the inside out as medical costs increase and the corporate insurance industry hikes up rates across the country. The state of Michigan feeds the Detroit public schools to the private sector sharks. And the capitalist class, with the help of the U.S. government, tries to do the very same thing to the socialist government in Venezuela. But first, Cooperation Jackson, an organization made up of activists rooted in the Malcolm X grassroots movement that for a brief time controlled City Hall in Jackson, Mississippi, continues to build institutions for black self-determination in the region. Callie Acuno